The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.
Now, I am very much looking forward to our next chat as a first-time mom, I suppose, really, because no matter how prepared you think you are, you haven't a rashers. That was my experience anyway. And a new online course, which is all evidence-based information aimed at addressing knowledge gaps that we may have, breaking the silence around embarrassing or sensitive health issues, which our bodies may go through afterwards. So that is all now available. And the woman behind it is Dr. Deirdre Daly, who is assistant professor in midwifery at Trinity. I'm also joined by two moms who took part in the study, which resulted in the course, Ellen McAvoy and Moira McLaughlin. Were the guinea pigs and part of the whole process. So first of all, Deirdre, I'll come to you. This online resource is based on the MAMMI study, M-A-M-M-I. Tell us what it is and what it's all about.
Okay, well, the online course is called WHAM.
Okay.
Women's Health After Motherhood.
Yeah. And then the study is
the MAMMI study. And MAMMI stands for Maternal Health and Maternal Morbidity in Ireland. And morbidity means a health problem or anything that's going to have a negative effect on the woman's health or life, well-being. I started back in 2011 for my PhD, and I started because I'd been working as a midwife out in one of the community clinics in Dublin. I met a woman who'd had health problems. I went looking for the amount of women that would suffer from a health problem like urinary incontinence or something in Ireland, and discovered that there was absolutely no data collected on women's health once they leave the maternity.
Nothing.
In Ireland. No. No data collected and reported. Now, we have fantastic data during pregnancy, during labour, during mm-hmm. childbirth, but none afterwards. Mm-hmm. So we started the MAMMI study, and we started it in one hospital, recruited over 5 years in three hospitals, and we recruited a total of 3,047 first-time mothers.
Okay. And with this study back then, had you planned how long it was going to go on, how long the study was going to take, how many years, or had you even got that?
Oh, the dream was, well, we knew at the very beginning, I knew at the very beginning that we were going to follow them up at 12 months postpartum.
Okay.
But the dream and the vision was to keep on going. So we're now on the 5-year follow-up, and the new vision is for get more money to do the 10-year follow-up, and then the 15, and then the 20. So it's, as I keep saying to them, it's to menopause and beyond.
Okay. There's no getting out now, girls, is what she's saying.
But they're really committed. I mean, they will tell you themselves, I mean, what the surveys are like. Mm-hmm. But at 3 months postpartum after first-time motherhood, you know, in that awful tiredness, exhaustion, am I doing okay? Mm-hmm. The retention rates were about 90%.
Okay. All right. So, Ellen, I'll come to you first. What did you find most beneficial about the study, or were you surprised at the questions that it drew up for you? How soon were you answering the questions? How did you get involved? Tell us all.
Well, I got involved because I just am a serial participator. Everyone will tell you that. If there's something to be volunteered for, I'm putting my hand up. So I didn't really expect anything to come back out of it. I did the one while I was still pregnant, you know, was kind of like, whoa, there's a lot of questions in this. And
like what?
Didn't think much about it. I suppose there's a lot of questions about your mental health. There's questions about your physical health. I remember sending one of the studies back late because I didn't have a weighing scales that had a battery in it. And one of the team phoned me up and was like, are you OK? Like, we're concerned for you. And it was one of the only phone calls that I got from, you know, medical representatives that I felt that someone actually genuinely cared. And they noticed that I was missing. And I think that was the one that was, is it 9 months postpartum? Mm-hmm. But yeah, the questions are very, very... they're invasive to a certain extent. You know, they ask about, you know, your bladder control and the other end and the rest of it. But, you know, your mental health and generally just a kind of a check in. The same things that you would ask your friends, maybe not in quite that much detail, but mm-hmm. really a sense of how are you? How are you going? You know,
because we don't ask ourselves those questions, because when you are a new mom, your whole world is turned upside down and the focus is entirely on the baby. Yeah. It's like happy, healthy baby. And there you go for your 6 week checkup, and the nurse comes out, the public health nurse comes out, checks the baby. You know, so it's all the focus is on the baby. And was this the first time that you were answering questions?
Yeah,
about
so that's
you?
What I was saying that earlier on was I remember going into the 6 week checkup thinking, right, this is mommy's MOT. I'm going to get my, you know, validity certificate and back on the road. I'll be back to normal. This is the big tick and I'm going to feel like myself after this. I had to beg to get my stitches checked. I had a second degree tear and I had to really convince the nurse that it was worthwhile to check my stitches. She was kind of going, if you don't have pain, you're grand. And I was like, no, I want to make sure that everything is yes. is A-OK down there. And then the study came in the 3 months postpartum. And it was all the questions that I felt like I should have been asked.
Yeah.
You know, how are you going to the toilet? Is everything okay? How do you feel in yourself? I think there's even questions about, you know, how are you sleeping? How's your relationship?
Yes.
You know, and that was one of the big things for me postpartum was I felt like my relationship with everyone was falling apart. And the one that I did not want to let go was my marriage. But I just felt that communication was so difficult. 15 months postpartum, I eventually got diagnosed with postnatal anxiety. And it was all down to that. But, you know, I would credit my diagnosis to having filled out the mammy study. And it was a slow but sure process. I had filled out all of the studies and plus a couple of months before I actually took myself to go get help.
So it gave you time to reflect. You yeah. still needed time after that, after answering the questions, to make that move and make that decision. Moira, what was your experience of the study?
Well, similar to Ellen, I really think that the study asked questions that nobody else was asking. I definitely feel one of the things that my GP said to me at, I think, the 6 week check was that it's very important to be a healthy mother as well for your baby. Mm. But I think at the same time, she didn't go into the same level of detail as what the mammy study did. And I think that just prompted me to just kind of think about myself, because you really put your finger on the main point that it is really about the health of your baby after having had a baby. Mm. And everyone asks questions. Everyone expects you to kind of bounce back to normal. I think expectation.
God, I hate that phrase.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez, I hate it. Bounce back.
Yeah. It's,
I mean, who bounces back?
Our whole view of it is skewed, in my opinion. The expectations that are put on mothers are huge. You're expected to bounce back to normal. You're expected to be really happy being a new mother, which most women are, but that doesn't change the fact that it is sometimes difficult and you need support.
Mm.
But the expectations on mothers are huge. But on the flip side of that, women aren't really allowed to expect very much. We're kind of told that as long as you have a healthy baby, you should be fine and you should tolerate anything else. Whereas we need to be a bit more honest about what's normal for women after having had a baby, and we need to provide more supports for them.
Mm-hmm.
And the mammy study really did shine a light on that for me, that the health of a mother is also extremely important. And it doesn't in any way diminish the fact that you
away.
Also value the health of your baby, and you are extremely happy to be a mother. But you're also important yourself.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, when I had Ellie and people said, oh, you know, you bounce back, or on social media. And basically that was you've lost weight.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of signified to me. And yes, I did. Not by, you know, by trying hugely. It was just that's what happened to me and to my body. But I didn't feel like I'd bounced back anywhere. I couldn't bounce up or down or in or out. And for me, it was, I'll never forget getting home from the hospital, and I had an emergency C-section. So she was born a couple of weeks early and it was all very, very sudden. I had my maternity leave planned out. I had the nails booked at 4 o'clock. Yeah. I went in for my checkup and didn't come out, and that was it. And being in that love bubble for the first couple of days, and I felt that, and I felt that connection, and I felt amazing, and I felt, and it was incredible. And then the day I got home, when I was on my own in the house, I just felt a complete lack of, I don't even know what it was. It's like I was looking at her going, she doesn't feel like mine. It was really strange. And when I was very lucky, my best friend had a baby at the same time as me. So I was able to talk it out with her. She'd had a kid before. She'd had a baby before. She's like, this is normal. Anything you're feeling now is normal. If you're feeling it, it's normal. But it was to be able to acknowledge that, mm-hmm. and accept it. And eventually, you know, after the couple of days, a couple of weeks, it came right. But it was a worrying time. I won't lie to you, you know. And I suppose having something like this where you can have an online resource, because all of this study now, as you said, Deirdre, it's a resource that's now available free of charge.
Yep. It's WHAM, Women's Health After Motherhood. And I should say it's available in English. It's available in Spanish. And in 2000 and in January, it'll be available in Dutch as well.
Great.
So, it very much built on the findings from the MAMI study, because these women, we shared the findings in 2016, 17, 18 with the women. And we set up a public participation with women in research initiative with the women.
Mm.
And I remember very well, and it was Ellen actually at the very first PPI meeting that said, you have to do something.
Mm.
You have to do something to make a difference. So we started applying for more money and got money from different bodies to set up WHAM.
Mm.
And week one is all about your physical health, maternal health.
So it was with this findings from the mothers, you have gotten physiotherapists, psychiatrists and other experts in mental health, sexual health, everybody yep. involved yep. in this to create this,
yes,
this resource.
Create resources.
Mm.
And it's videos.
Amazing.
It's downloadable. Some of them are editable. There's audios from the women in every week. So they're at the women's voice at the beginning and at the end of every week's learning to tell you their tips. Week one is all about your health, maternal health, and challenges the myths.
Mm.
Your body will be back to normal.
Mm.
6 weeks. There's a downloadable interactive infographic that tells you what isn't normal. It tells you what's common but not normal. And it tells women what they can do to help themselves and how to and when to ask for help.
Mm.
Week two is all about urinary incontinence and your pelvic health. Wonderful guided pelvic floor muscle exercises. They're fantastic.
Yes.
Week three is all about mental health. Mm. Particularly anxiety and depression, and that's two mental health experts. And there's a gorgeous piece in there as well on advocating for yourself. And week four then is all about the relationships. So it's your social relationships, intimate relationships, like your sexual intimacy, and then a bit on domestic violence written by one of our experts, Sarah Benson, who's director of Women's Aid.
Mm.
And there's a lovely bit there as well as from Ireland's only clinical sexologist, Emily Power-Smith, on choosing lubricants.
Okay, okay. So, and I know there's like it's a vast array of subjects then. Were there any specific subjects that came through again and again and again from mothers that you saw that were very prevalent?
They would be the key ones. It was the yeah. physical health stuff that nobody talked about. So there's urinary incontinence in there, leaking urine. There's also fecal incontinence, so leaking bowels when they don't mean to it as well.
Mm.
Mental health issues was big, and not just depression. It was anxiety as well.
Mm.
More often than not, what women had were one or some of these health problems. So it wasn't just one of them. And what they really, really needed was some place that they could go for this reliable, trustworthy source of information, all in one place, and they could trust it.
Mm.
I think there was an overwhelming sense as well that we wanted language that we could use. So instead of going in and feeling like you needed the midwife or the doctor to answer all of the questions, you know, just tell me all the things. You wanted to kind of go in with a little bit of something so that you could actually ask the questions that were meaningful to you, because not every mother has the same questions.
Mm.
And like this sense of going from being me to being mother, you know, that always got me. There was two things when the doctor or the GP would go, and how's mum? And you kind of go, oh, I don't like it. I don't like what you're saying. Or the other one was the head tilt and the, oh, you're a first time mum though. Like as if you'll learn as
yeah,
you go
yeah.
along. But how am I meant to learn? I'm asking you for the help was really what we were all crying out and saying was, we need to know more so that we can get more.
Yes.
And that was really what we wanted from the next phase.
Well, clearly, Moira, from this, it's like, you know, we have to ask the question, does post-maternity care for women go on long enough? I mean, clearly it
no,
doesn't.
Probably not. I think what's important,
because you
to remember,
have three children.
I have three kids. They're 6, 4, and 1.5. And I think one thing that stuck out for me when filling out the 5-year follow up. I had three kids by the time I filled out the 5-year follow up. My youngest was 3 months old, and one thing that stuck out for me was that I had grown in so much confidence. And I think that only happened with experience. I think your first time around, you're listening to all the anecdotal information that you're hearing from everybody, all the advice that's really well-meaning. But it's not always evidence-based.
Yes.
And even though it's good to chat and it's great to have support around you, it is really important to have somewhere to go to get evidence-based information.
Yes.
And women's experience has to be valued. And I don't think we do that enough. I think sometimes once the baby arrives, the focus shifts just a little bit too much. And it doesn't mean that the focus should come off the baby entirely. It just means it should be maybe spread a little bit more evenly to ensure that every mother is also looked after.
Okay. Well, listen, it's been so interesting having a chat with you guys today, to Ellen, to Moira, to Dr. Deirdre Daly. It sounds like this survey is going to roll on and keep going.
Well, when they, it's all thanks to women that we're this far.
Because it's great.
They're committed to the study.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, you can find out more about the online resource at www.futurelearn.com/courses/womenshealthaftermotherhood. And we will put that information up on our Fantastic. Website as well. Thanks a million, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.